All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can you see it? Did you know?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes, Jones!
In this existence, take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal, Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I won't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down Wednesday.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our heart. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation. My name is Chris Faber, and joining me always, David Quadrelli. But first, we are presented by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. They got a new set out there, and I forget the name of it, Quads, but they got a brand new set that Series 1 and 2 put together. Some awesome-looking rookies in there. You can use our promo code HOCKEYSEASON, all one word, capital H, capital S, HOCKEYSEASON, ZephyrEpic.com, and free shipping. People know this by now, I think, all across Canada.
Someone messaged me. And said, why do you spell out Zephyr Epic, but Faber doesn't?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic on all platforms. That's okay. What I always say.
Easy way to find it. Go to Canucks Convo's Twitter account. It's one of the accounts we're following. Boom.
Or you can just Google it or by spelling.
I guess
Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic on all platforms.
Zephyr Epic, the problem with me is that it's hard to read when you're reading it out, like in one word and all like... Like without capitals, it kind of looks like it's a little hard to read personally.
I disagree because the colors change in the logo.
Right, but I mean, like if you're looking at it on just searching it up on a website or something. But yeah, easy to find. Zephyr Epic.
Yeah,
Zephyr's a tough word to spell.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that as a. Well, I could spell it now, obviously, pretty easily. Well, probably. But I
hope so.
Yeah.
I spell it out for you like every week.
Yeah,
I'm zoned out. At least once a week, you get to hear me spell it out.
That's true. Z-E-P-H-Y-R, epic.
Yeah, now spell epic.
Epic's easy to spell.
Yeah.
I don't need to do that here.
Good.
E-P-I-C. By the way, I got it.
Took your word for it.
Hey, not a lot of messing around today. We're going to get right into Canucks topics. Lots to talk about. We're recording this at 5 o'clock on Friday night. So if there is more to come after we finish recording this or anything that happens live, obviously we'll talk about it live here on the pod. But if anything comes, we may be adding a little bit of extra content to the end. If anything else comes down on Friday night, because a lot of rumors this morning, Quads.
Lots.
Where do you want to start? I mean, there's a lot of things to start with.
Let's start at why we're recording at 5 and what happened this morning and why you weren't on the Trent Call call. And why people are probably curious why I was tweeting out the quotes from Trent Call and you were nowhere to be found. Go ahead.
Yeah, I woke up to a lot of text messages from you. Because I'm up till 3 o'clock last night getting prepared to write another article about 7 late round picks. I'm watching tons of video. I'm up late last night. I got one Netflix show in last night, a 16-minute Netflix show. So nothing much. I'm up till about 3 a.m. Woke up at 8 o'clock. You know, not a lot of sleep. Had a bowl of caramel cinnamon toast crunch.
Ooh,
the prospects, you know, like the prospects, they love the cinnamon toast crunch. All the ones that we talked to love cinnamon toast crunch. So I saw caramel cinnamon toast crunch the other day, and it was excellent. And then on top of that, I've talked about the Cinnamon Toast Crunch churros flavor, right?
Yes.
I told you about this. They have a chocolate one now.
What?
So I got that as well.
Isn't that overkill?
So that, yeah.
Well, how was the caramel one?
Well, forget the hockey talk. We'll get into this first. It's like the caramel one is really good. I think it's better than the regular Cinnamon Toast
Crunch.
And I think it makes the milk even better, too. And that's one of my favorite things about CT Crunch is the milk, obviously. Yes. And the caramel milk, like it comes out, it's got a little color to it.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, I think it's primed to go. And like when I'm filling up a bowl of cereal, I normally like fill it, obviously put the cereal in first because I'm not
a lunatic.
I'm insane. Yeah. So I put the cereal in first and I put the milk until I can like just see the milk.
Yeah.
Right. Like just until you see like the glimpse of the white, you stop right there. But with this one, I was like, I was going covering all of the cereal and milk because I knew there was going to be a lot of good milk at the end. And it was excellent. And I had this discussion with my girlfriend this morning. She's like, that's not breakfast. That like when you're having a cereal that's that sugary, it almost is at a level of like maybe you should have it after dinner as a dessert. Like, because think about it. Like,
yeah.
It's actually not that out of the realm of normality to think that this would be like a dessert. Like,
yeah,
like the chocolate churros in milk. That's something that's
not a very nutritious breakfast.
No. And I think like you wouldn't find that on like a restaurant dessert menu. But it wouldn't shock me, you know, if I were to open up a restaurant, maybe I'd have the most sugariest cereals on the dessert menu. I wonder how many people would be into that.
Probably not a lot.
Not a lot, but it's like you mentioned, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch Churros Chocolate. That's a mouthful right there to say. And yeah, it's not really a nutritious breakfast. So yeah, I had a little bit of a nap today. I had that sugary cereal and normally I have a coffee in the morning, but I didn't have one. Laid back down in my bed at 9 o'clock, and then I was out till about 12:30.
We've reached a new segment on the show because this is the third time I think straight that this has happened. It's the segment where we forget that we didn't tweet out the poll question before the show.
Oh man!
So I tweeted out during the show.
Okay.
That's segment, and then answering the poll question is a different segment. So it's a someone ranked their top five Canucks convo segments, and number one I think was Quads doing things wrong that he thinks are like completely normal. Next week, someone said Quads is going to come in and say, wait, you guys don't all wash your clothes in the sink?
that's another weird one for Quads. Probably just read it wrong on the label.
Yeah, it was like, either put them in the dishwasher or put them in your sink. And I did both.
One of my favorite almost segments on the show is when you're trying to wrap up a segment or wrap up the show. And I say, no, wait. You didn't mention this. That's pretty much a segment on the show as well. But hey, let's get into the hockey news now.
Yes.
Unless you want to rip me for taking naps.
No.
I take these naps maybe once every 2 weeks to catch up on all the sleep that I miss out from working so goddamn hard for you in Canucks Arms. Okay? So give me once every 2 weeks I need a midday nap.
I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's just like
let
me
know. They come on Fridays a lot, I will say.
Set an alarm. Set an alarm. Do something.
I didn't know I was going to fall asleep.
Okay, well, you got to be prepared. Like you just said, every 2 weeks it happens. So just be a little more prepared.
I'm not late. I'm
writing you up. Writing you up. Okay, no, let's get to the news. There's lots today, lots you missed. The main thing you missed was eight teams, according to Rick Dollywell of Donnie and Dolly, the team on Czech TV. Eight teams have called on Braden Holtby. Now, when you hear that, you're probably wondering to yourself, well, why the hell is Braden Holtby still a Canuck? And as we were talking about in the car ride over here, Chris, Braden Holtby right now, the reason that he's not going to get traded before the expansion draft is because there's minimum requirements that all the teams have to meet for the Seattle Kraken expansion draft. One of those requirements is that you have a goalie exposed that Seattle could take. Mikey DiPietro doesn't fit those requirements because he hasn't been a pro long enough. Same goes for Artur Seelöves and obviously Jake Kiely as well. It doesn't count. So all they have is Thatcher Demko. They're going to use their protection spot on Thatcher Demko, leave Holtby exposed. But Seattle's very interested. So I'll get your initial thoughts on this because I have a lot to say about this.
Yeah, I think that you look at what the Canucks, and we're going to get to the expansion list, I think, quite a bit in this episode as well. But there isn't really a guy that sticks out who can bring as much value to your team as Braden Holtby could, because there's not a for sure starter going to be available for a lot of these. There's going to be some goaltenders that, you know, have some potential. I think that's the exciting thing for Seattle looking forward, is like the goaltenders that they're drafting that they are going to be real happy with are guys that have potential to be starters, but I don't think any of them are going to be starters next season. When Braden Holtby, to me, if they do end up taking Braden Holtby, it kind of just pushes it down the road another year, which is good for them because, you know, they're not getting the Marc-Andre Fleury guy. They're not getting that starter like Vegas did. They're getting a lesser goaltender at that spot, but having Braden Holtby be the guy come in 1 year and, you know, be the 1A or the, you know, kind of have a 1B, 1A situation, Braden Holtby can be that guy. But it also, to me, it just, the big thing about them selecting Holtby does just make it so that they can push it down the road another year. And honestly, you know, big cap relief for the Vancouver Canucks if Holtby is the guy that they want to select.
Yeah, there's not a ton of goalies available. That's the fact of the matter. There's people that were like, oh, maybe Tristan Jarry and Matt Murray, that'll be something. Matt Murray's in Ottawa now. That's not an option. Tristan Jarry's getting protected. Do you even want Tristan Jarry after everything that happened in the playoffs? But anyways,
like debacle,
yeah, we won't get into that. But the goalies that are available for them, they've been linked to Chris Drieger in Florida, right? Look, that's a one-year guy. Like you've seen, not a huge sample size, choked in the playoffs. I don't know if you're Seattle, if you want to go out and be like, okay, we're going to go sign this guy in free agency after seeing him for 1 year, really? And he's going to be our starter? Are you really comfortable with that? Well, I don't think so.
Looking like a lot of these projected picks, like if Braden Holtby is the guy there, he's going to be the guy who's, you know, up on the side of the, you know, of the arena.
Yeah, there's exactly. Going to be pictures of him. He fits great.
Stanley
with
Cup
Seattle.
Champion, Vezina winner. He's a former star.
Yeah.
Still a big name. It makes a lot of sense for Seattle to be that guy. Also, just the way that, you know, Braden Holtby acts, dresses, very Pacific Northwest type of guy.
Absolutely.
Like, makes a lot of sense for Seattle to go that way. And it's like, what other, who are they going to be excited about? Matthew Highmore if he's exposed? Is Jonah Gadjevich what they're excited about? Is Madison Bowie the other guy? Like, the good thing about the Canucks is they don't have a lot of guys that are that great.
Now, here's the interesting thing about all this, Chris, is I don't know who reported this, but I have seen and heard that it looks like it's going to be a side deal for Holtby. So Seattle's going to select somebody, but it's going to be a side deal for Holtby. So the Canucks are going to retain salary. Now let's get creative here. Like, can the Canucks maybe leave like a Louis Erickson unprotected or somebody unprotected that they don't want? Seattle takes that player, and then the Canucks give like a second or third round pick in 2022 for Holtby. Like, they attach that to Holtby. You know what I mean? And then maybe take like a seventh round back from Seattle. I know I'm like the guy in that meme. I think it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
You
got to
explain
that
one more
time.
I missed that completely.
It's going to be a side deal for Holtby, right? Because $5.9 million owed to Braden Holtby, right? 4.3 cap hit. I'm ringing these off the top of my head.
Yeah,
I think
right
those were accurate. But Seattle is going to want Vancouver to retain some salary on that. That's the position Vancouver's now in. The checkbooks are open. Like, we've talked about this on this show before. The checkbooks are open from ownership. You saw that with the Ian Clark deal. Seen that with bringing Daniel and Henrik Sedin on. Like, that's not cheap. You know, the checkbooks are open. So buyouts, all that stuff are on the table. Jim Benning's confirmed that. So with that, what I'm saying is you pull a side deal off because it's not going to be like they're looking at it from a trade perspective. They're not looking at it from a, we're going to leave Holtby unprotected and you go up and select him. When Seattle takes the stage, they're probably not going to select Braden Holtby. That doesn't mean Braden Holtby is not going to be a member of the Seattle Kraken. What I'm saying is after they, so when Seattle takes the stage, what I'm saying is maybe Vancouver gets them to select someone like Roussel, you know, Jay Beagle, you know, I'm just riffing off all the dead weight names, right?
Okay, like, so if they're getting rid of money to also hold on to Holtby money, kind of what you're saying.
Yes. Okay, so sorry, what I'm saying.
They're going to have a lot. I mean, Seattle's going to have a ton of cap.
Exactly.
It's their best weapon.
Exactly. So what I'm saying, right, is, you know, I was just riffing off names there. You got to go look and make sure those guys don't have full no movement clauses, because that means they have to be protected. But I don't think any of those guys that I mentioned
Louis
do.
Might?
No, I don't think Louis has a full. I don't think it's a full no trade. Yeah, it changed to no trade, I believe. But what I'm saying is, yeah, so you pull off that side deal. I think if Braden Holtby becomes a Kraken, is that what we're calling them now? Like, we say if a player becomes a Canuck, if they become a Kraken?
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. If Braden Holtby goes to Seattle, it's going to be through the trade route. I don't think it's going to be through the selection process. But
then it's like you hear the report today that eight teams are interested.
Yeah.
I don't think one of those eight teams just would take Braden Holtby and you wouldn't have to hold salary, because that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And then it's like, who else are you losing? That's why I don't think that you need to do a side deal with Seattle to make Holtby their guy.
I don't know, because if you're also getting out of a bad contract and you're only holding some money for this year, I think it's worth it. Like what I just outlined, I think that's a great idea.
It would depend on the money that you're holding from Holtby too.
Yeah, like you're not retaining 50%. You're retaining, like, you know, maybe like 25%.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's probably something there. I'm still a lot in the camp. Like, this is something that feels like it's just going to be, if the Canucks are going to be like this aggressive team like they want to be in the offseason, it's going to start with moving money, and that money is going to come from Nate Schmidt. It's going to come from Braden Holtby. It's going to come from Antoine Roussel. So if they are going to go that direction, you know, and we've heard the Hyman rumors. We'll get into that a little bit later as well. Like, if they're going to want to go in that direction and make some big moves, the first thing they have to do is move this money, because they just don't have enough to do it. You know, with Hughes and Pettersson's contracts hopefully coming up soon, it's starting to freak me out with the Pettersson deal a little bit. But, like, I think that it's a lot to ask from Jim Benning, from what we've seen in the past, to make this a deal that happens, right? I think, I don't know, like, if teams are actually interested in Holtby, I wonder if that report, like, came from the Vancouver Canucks to Dolly Wall to report that or whatever, because, like, that kind of shocks me a little bit that somebody does want to take Braden Holtby
at
4.3.
Hold on. Teams calling about Holtby, like you said, do teams want to, if eight teams are calling, somebody's going to give you something for Holtby at his full salary you're not going to have to retain. We don't know that all eight of those teams didn't call and say, hey, we'll take Holtby if you retain this much, but you're not getting an asset for it. I think if you can pull off some sort of deal, and the reason I said you've got to include a second or third round pick in that side deal with Seattle, that's if you're losing some pretty significant money, right? So, you know, maybe you even are able to throw in a player to that trade. All I'm saying is if Holtby goes to Seattle, which I think is likely, then it's going to be through a side deal. It's not going to be through the selection process.
Yeah, I still don't like the idea of giving up a second round pick or a third round pick, because I don't think you really need to rush into this season. The only person that wants to rush this team into the playoffs is Jim Benning, right? I mean, and obviously the players. I think it would help to get into the playoffs for sure.
Everybody in the organization.
Right. But I think that there's an outside shot that the Canucks are a playoff team next year with what the Pacific's going to look like. Like, even, you know, it worries me a lot to give up another second, give up third, when the prospect pool needs so much work.
Yeah, fair
and
enough.
When the team starts to be competitive in 2 years, when all this dead money comes off, you want there to be another wave of talent. What if they can find another Nils Höglander in the second round?
Yep.
What if they can find a guy like Jet Wu in the second round again, or even Cole Lynn, guys that can help the NHL team, hopefully, in a few years?
Well, yeah, I was going to say the
like
last two.
Right. I mean, like, you want to be able to just actually have more players. Like, what would the Canucks prospect pipeline look like if there was no Cole Lynn or Jet Wu in it right now? Like, these guys are what we're really, like, they're not jumping.
I don't think anybody's, like,
NHL.
Chomping at the bit to see either of those
sure,
guys.
Sure, but it's really good to have the chance of Jet Wu potentially hitting his potential.
It's good to see the potential hit his potential, yes.
Right.
It's good to see that? Jet Wu in Abbotsford next year. That's something people are going to get to see him up close and personal. That'll be really nice for fans to see.
Yeah.
Something I want to ask you, and you know what? We'll get to this later. There was a call with Trent Call. I've got a few things to say about that. We'll get to that later. The main thing, because you just brought it up, and making the playoffs next year, I look at this team right now, and now we know Alex Edler's probably not coming back. Again, I'll cite the report. His agent went on Donnie and Dolly, the team on check, and said that they are going to explore the free agent market. And just the way he was talking and kind of what he said about maybe we'll circle back, but hopefully not, was basically the verbiage that was used. You know, it really does sound like Alex Edler's probably played his last game as a Canuck, unless he, you know, comes back on a cheaper deal. Like, that's the thing, is if he circles back because he doesn't find anything in the free agent market, which I find it really hard to believe. Like, Edmonton just gave up so many assets to get Duncan Keith for 2 years at almost $6 million. Like, Edmonton could have got Alex Edler, who you know, there's a bit of a debate, I guess, if he's still better than Duncan Keith, because Duncan Keith had a pretty tough year last year, but they played a similar role. Alex Edler posted better underlying numbers. I'm willing to listen that Edler's better than Keith. All I'm saying is Alex Edler's not going to sign a 2-year deal worth almost $6 million anywhere. Like, that's not what his next contract is going to look like, and you don't have to give up any assets for him. So if Edmonton had just waited, they could have maybe got their hands on Edler, and maybe they still will. Like, who knows?
Yeah, I think he's going to have an option to go play for a winner, and that's, you know, a team that's close to the Stanley Cup contention right now. You know, what if he lands in Colorado? What if he lands in Tampa Bay?
Imagine Edler on Tampa's third pairing.
Well, that's a very possible situation.
Edler and Luke Shen hoisting the cup together.
Yeah, that would be great. And he's a guy who can, you know, kill penalties for you, obviously. He was one of the top penalty killers for the Vancouver Canucks last year on the defense, and
Third string goalie.
I don't think we have to spend a lot of time on the Edler thing, because it's something we've talked on a lot. Yeah. And I think the thing was, like, if he wants to come back, the Canucks can work out a deal. But if he wants to explore the waters, fine. I don't think it's like a huge loss for the Canucks to lose Alex Edler. I think just like the bigger things that you're losing if Alex Edler walks is probably just, like, you know, having the last guy from the 2011 Cup run here, a guy who's been in Vancouver, who can probably help a lot of these young guys quite a bit and, you know, be the perfect guy to bounce questions off. But if Edler walks, you know what time it is, right? It's Yo Levy time, baby.
No, it's not.
Yo Levy.
Oh my gosh. Okay, imagine they go into next year with a defense core of Quinn Hughes, Travis Hamonic, who still has to get signed, by the way. Mm-hmm. Jack Rathbone's your second pair left D, Nate Schmidt, and then Yo Levy and Myers. That's what you're going into next year with.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Canucks aren't making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't do, like, it's, there's a lot of things that need to make this team.
They need to go get another left defenseman. It's not Yo Levy time.
It's Yo Levy time, man.
It's not Yo Levy time.
Yo Levy's going to go play with Tyler Myers on the
third pair. Unless Yo Levy is FaceTiming Jim Benning every day and being like, look, I can actually defend the rush now, showing him his workouts where he's actually skating well, then maybe it's Yo Levy time.
Hey, you're replacing a guy who couldn't skate very well with Edler with Ole Yo Levy, another guy who can't
can't skate very well, but has far less hockey IQ and defensive IQ.
He's got good hockey IQ.
Way less than Alex Edler. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean,
now, besmirch the name of Alex Edler on this show.
Yeah, but how long has Ole Yo Levy been in the league? He hasn't had a chance to really start to prove himself.
Sure, so you're going to throw him in and be like, oh, go figure it out.
On the third pairing, playing what, 14 minutes a night with penalty kill time?
Yeah.
That's not as what Alex Edler is playing. Alex Edler is playing 10 more minutes a game than that.
So you're just losing
Edler, you're not immediately swapping
over
Yo Levy. But
you're also promoting Rathbone to these
crazy
roles. That's the
thing. That's the harder part. That's the harder guy who's going to have a lot more on his plate now is going to be Jack Rathbone out of this.
But you
because with Edler gone, they're not going to go out and find a defenseman who's going to go out and play 22 minutes a night for them for cheap.
No, not for cheap.
So it's
but there's
going
names
to be
out
Jack
there.
Rathbone
there's
who's going to be
there.
Covering a lot of those minutes.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think he's ready for it. I think we both are really high on Jack Rathbone. I have been longer than you. I'm just going to point that out. But, you know, a guy like Adam Larson, available on the free agent market. I look at that. No offensive talent at all. Reminds me a lot of Chris Tanev. That's somebody who can play with Quinn Hughes. I really like that idea. And then you have Rathbone to play with Hamonic, hopefully, because we were talking about, you know, it's a point you've been beating this drum louder than anybody, I think, kind of the primary puck mover on a D pairing, and I really like kind of your thinking on that with Hamonic playing a similar role to what he did with Hughes last year, doing it with Rathbone, because those are two similar defensemen, right?
So that's the only thing with Tyler Myers that really makes his defense core so hard is, like, Tyler Myers can't play with Quinn Hughes. Have you seen that?
Well, it's bad.
You saw the article that I put together. Like, the way that they played a decent amount of minutes last year together. 3 goals for when they were on the ice together as a pairing. 14 goals against with Quinn Hughes and Tyler Myers together. Just horrible numbers. You don't want Tyler Myers playing with Jack Rathbone. You could see in the short amount of time that they played together last year that that's not how you get the best out of Jack Rathbone, because Tyler Myers always wants to move the puck up the ice. So who makes sense with Tyler Myers? Ojolevi makes sense with Tyler Myers, because Ojolevi can be that stay-at-home defenseman that he's going to evolve into in the NHL level. He's going to be that guy who can play in your bottom four pairing, and he's going to be a defensive player. That's what he needs to be with Tyler Myers.
Can we put some sort of bet, like some sort of wager that Ojolevi plays under 100 NHL games?
Yep.
Okay.
I would take that.
Okay, what are we doing? What are
he
we
was
doing?
Drafted too high to not play 100 NHL games.
Well, okay, you know what? Maybe he... How many games are there in a season? No, under 200, because he might play this whole season because the Canucks are going to be in such shambles, but he'll play under 200.
Give me 160. That's two NHL full seasons.
200. He's already at like 28 or something.
Okay, well then 175. Deal. He'll play over 175 games.
He'll play
that's,
under.
That's a round of golf and parallel street kitchen.
Yes,
lunch.
Which you should go check out, by the way. What's the address?
1940 Triumph Street.
1950 Triumph Street. Go check out the parallel 49.
Go to 1940, you'll see it.
Yeah, you'll see
it. It's a huge building.
We sent you in the ballpark range. We got you close. But by the way,
we're going
what
back
you were
soon.
Saying... Yeah, we are. I'm pretty excited for that. What you were saying when you just said... when you brought up Tyler Myers playing with Jack Rathbone, when we had Aiden McDonough on the show last week, we were interviewing him, and I asked him about the McDavid and Draisaitl 2-on-1. And he goes, yeah, like, I don't even know how he got stuck on a 2-on-1 against McDavid and Draisaitl. And I really badly wanted to chime in and be like, well, he was on a pairing with Tyler Myers. But then if he laughed, then people would be like, oh, he hates his teammates.
We would have had to cut that.
Yeah, we would have had to cut that. But I held back there. But yeah, it's like, that's why he ended up on a 2-on-1. By the way, I think Tyler Myers is going to have a big year next year.
I think Ojolevi's going to have a big year next year.
Look at us just arguing over like the two worst defensemen on the team.
Yeah.
What's next? Jalen Chatfield? We're high on Jalen Chatfield to come back.
I don't think anyone's high on Jalen
Chatfield. I don't know
if Jalen
Chatfield's coming back. And another guy, friend of the show, I think his time's done with the Canucks, Brogan Rafferty.
Getting married next month.
Proposed on an ice rink, which is very fitting. But I don't think Brogan Rafferty's coming back. I don't think he's very happy with this situation.
It's going to be interesting to see who the Canucks have as their 7th, 8th defenseman next year. I mean, look at what they have right now signed. Madison Bowie's an option. After that, it's Jet Wu is an option.
No,
they don't even
they're signing somebody.
You know what? They don't even have Ojolevi under contract for next season.
It's an
RFA.
They're gonna have to sign somebody. But, you know, 7th D-men are out there, right? Like,
right, and I think the defenseman that they are going to sign needs to be a guy that can play with Tyler Myers, right? Because, like you said, you can't play Tyler Myers with Myers. You can't play him with Rathbone. And they probably are going to make Ojolevi the 7th defenseman next year if they're able to sign someone.
You said you can't play Tyler Myers with Myers. You meant Hughes. Yeah.
Right.
But you know another name that I'm looking at? And, you know, this is just, you know, you see that tweet that went viral a couple days ago? Is like, guys can just sit in a room and throw out names of sports players and be happy. That's literally what we're doing right now.
Called a podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Radko Gudas. That is a name.
Been on that one for a while.
I have been on the Radko Gudas stream for a while. Hell, even Luke Shen. You're looking for a seventh D-man? Go after Luke Shen. He's right-handed, though. So is Gudas.
But then that's a guy that you're looking to play with Quinn Hughes, right?
Yeah.
I like your Larson, but I think Larson is going to be pretty expensive.
Yeah, Larson probably is.
You know, a lot more expensive than Hamonic. And that's the thing. It's like, Hamonic, like, I like the idea of Hamonic coming back, but it's not like he was good.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't spectacular
with Quinn Hughes. He was better near the end of the season,
but still not much better. You look at Quinn Hughes' defensive numbers. Look, man, nothing crazy changed about Quinn Hughes' game from his rookie year when he was playing with Chris Tanev. And, you know, Tanev has never been
a good defensive player unless he's been on the ice with Elias Pettersson.
Yeah.
That's what happens. When Quinn Hughes plays with the best line on the Canucks, their defense is great because the puck's not in their own zone. But you look at Quinn Hughes' numbers away from Elias Pettersson, you'll see this in the article that I'm going to come out on Saturday, the second part of Back to the Future. I think our last one, too.
Yeah, for a while.
We've got
a lot of stuff
moving on here for the next few weeks. But, yeah, like, Quinn Hughes is, like, I think it was like 40% expected goal control when he's away from Pettersson. So, like, he's getting scored on. He's always been getting scored on. It's not like last year was just, like, this shocking moment that Quinn Hughes wasn't great defensively. He's going to bounce back next year.
Yeah,
Brad
exactly.
Hunt's going to be interesting to see what he can bring, right?
Yep.
I mean, like, that's a massive shift in what you're going to have a guy.
Brad Shaw.
Why do I say Brad? Oh, Brad Hunt's the defenseman, I think, who the Canucks might want to target for the AHL team.
Okay.
Local kid.
Brad Shaw.
Bradshaw, yeah. How did I forget that? I forgot the football.
Terry, just remember Terry.
That's right. And I just watched The Blind Side last night as I was making
great
meatballs.
Movie. Great yeah, movie.
Good movie. I was making meatballs. And
did you remember the meatballs?
No, I didn't bring you any. I had a lot. I had to get the girlfriend got priority over you. She got the meatballs first. I had to have some for dinner tonight. So we ran out of meatballs just in total for you. But man, I started those meatballs at about 6:30 and we had dinner at 9:30. It was a long process putting those things. I forget how, and this is what I do. I make these meatballs and they're so damn good. And then I remember how painstaking the time is and how long it takes to make these meatballs and like put them together. I put them in the air fryer this time. Mm-hmm. Probably not the right decision. They cooked too hot in the air fryer. They all exploded pretty much.
Oh,
not like crazy amounts. So I went a little bit lower for after the first batch, all of them exploded like crazy.
Wow.
So I was like, damn. So I got to do it in the oven because it's just like a slower, not as hard cook almost, you know? So they don't explode in the oven as much, but these ones exploded pretty hard. Anyways, defense corps is what we were talking about a little bit.
That's right.
We can probably move on from that. I think we spent the time on the Edley. We spent some time on Olia Levy, of course. I mean, like, that's like, let's just touch on it. Like, where do you think they add a player if they don't add Hamonic? Like, if they don't get Hamonic back, and that's a very possible thing because we've seen the way that this team is struggles to juggle, not just, you know, they struggle to juggle one ball at times when Jim Benning's running a lot of these things and everything's happening for him. But you throw a second ball in there, there's no chance. He's no Nils Höglander or Elias Pettersson on a unicycle. Like, it's a struggle for him to have multiple things going on at once. And right now, look at what's going to happen over the next 10 days. It is madness for us. Like, that's why a lot of this, like we've been saying, like a lot of emergency podcasts will probably be coming out here soon because it's expansion draft. It's NHL draft. It's day two of the draft. It's free agency. Like, there is so much about to happen right now. And the fact that the Canucks haven't been able to get ahead on certain things scares me a little bit. I think that something that they really had the door wide open to do, and everyone was banging the drum for it for a long time, was like, go out and get one of these guys that that a team is going to lose for nothing that can really help your team next year. Like, if the Canucks were to go out and get some of these wingers that are going to be picked up by Seattle, one of those guys could have played with Pettersson and Besser on the first line instead of making, you know, potentially Vasily Podkolzin and Nils Höglander go up to that line, put a lot of pressure on a young kid. You could have got a guy who's been around the NHL for a few years that could have gone on that line, and we haven't seen it happen. And you know what? Maybe at the end of this episode, we have to add something on because it happens late Friday night, but I don't know if it's going to happen. They really had a wide open door here to add because it's like, who are they losing? You know, we're in the second half, we're going to touch more about the expansion list, but who are they losing? Zach McEwen, Jonah Gadjevich. It sounds like Cole Lynn's going to be protected, which I'm excited about. Yeah. It sounds like Matthew Highmore is going to be protected as well, which is, you know, that's saying a lot. We'll get into it in the second half about the expansion list, but like, it's too bad they couldn't get ahead of it once again. I think a lot of people had some hope they could go out and add a player. You heard Thomas Drantz say Mason Appleton's name every 45 seconds on the Bandcast, but you know, they couldn't go out and get this guy. Unless we're talking about it at the end of this episode in the bonus content, like I said, but Friday at 6 o'clock or whatever it is right now, 5:30, they haven't been able to pull the trigger on something when the door was just wide open there for them to go out and make an ad.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, we've just seen that so many GMs are so, like, they've learned their lesson, man. Nobody's Bob Murraying it up in here anymore. Like, everybody has learned their lesson. Teams are looking at it and saying, look, we're going to lose a player to Seattle. But when hindsight is 20/20, some of these moves are going to look really bad. See Theodore, Shea. So I'll just leave it there. But yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I just think, you know, when we say the door's wide open, we don't know if it is because there really wasn't any deals made. So
the smart GMs, the good teams.
So no Colorado GM is smart.
Colorado went out and made a good move with Ryan
Graves. That's the only one I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, but that's a good addition for them to kind of make that move and move forward.
I just want to touch on that real quick. If you're New Jersey, why are you making that trade?
I mean, Ryan Graves looked pretty strong in the playoffs, though.
Great, but
and he's a guy who can play with your strong right shot defenseman.
Fantastic, but that doesn't put New Jersey anywhere near contention. Like, New Jersey had two.
Graves can play both sides, though. Like, he's a nice addition.
Sure, I don't disagree. But do they have a bunch more up their sleeve? Because they're nowhere near being a playoff team next year.
Yeah, it's that. It was an interesting one for New Jersey's standpoint, I think.
Two first overall pick centers. And they can't figure it out in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like, that's a shame.
It is.
Luke Hughes is going to be the next devil. Mark my words.
So I'm thinking he falls to the Canucks, man. I'm thinking Luke Hughes lands to the Canucks.
Do you think the Canucks take him at 9?
Yeah, they don't pass on him at 9 because all the other names will be gone at that point.
Off the Hughes family if you pass on Luke Hughes at 9. Oh, yeah,
it's like, I think at that point you're looking as like Hughes or Walstead.
You don't take
maybe
Walstead.
Maybe Lucell is still there, but I think you're taking
He's there. Isn't it Leishel?
Lucell.
Lucell.
When I asked him.
He's fallen.
He was on the show and said his name.
Yes, he's fallen a lot.
Yeah.
On people's draft boards. I think it was Cam Robinson that reported
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I mean, he had a fine U18s. He had a good U18s.
Yeah, he
which
did.
Is strange that he's fallen, but I think a lot of people are, you know, even on this show, when he was on this show, very confident kid, borderline cocky, probably cocky, actually. You know, he's very confident in what he can bring to a team. We obviously heard about some problems with him in the SHL with his coach, but he's confident. He's a confident kid. He got traded early on in his SHL career. So, yeah, there's some question marks about him for sure. There's some question marks about a few of these prospects from what I've heard. But we're going to get to the expansion draft a little bit more in the second half. I think we'll throw to an ad break right now. And like I said, man, it's been a jam-packed first half of this episode. We got a lot more to talk about on the second half of the episode. So we'll throw to a quick ad break right now, and we'll see you guys on the other side. All right, folks, that's right. We got a new ad finally here for Parallel 49 Beer. You want to get down to the street kitchen, folks. It's more than just a street kitchen now. Now it is a full-on beer gardens. Absolutely beautiful. You've seen Quads and I tweeting about it. The food's amazing. A ton of beers on tap. Quads as well. You've had not only beers, but what other drinks did you like there?
Had the Muddler's Pink Lemonade. That was very good. You need to go get the food, though. The food at the Parallel 49 Street Kitchen, ridiculous. What did we eat that one day? Poutine? Cheeseburger. Well, I ate it all. Waffle fries. And then we got those Korean barbecue wings.
Yeah, the spicy chicken burger. That's my go-to. But delicious. What you do, a little trick for everyone, you swap out the jalapenos for their pickled cucumbers. Very, very good. Highly recommend that. That's down at 1950 Triumph Street off an East Van. That's Parallel 49 at 1950 Triumph Street. Check them out in East Van and go down and try some beers and be sure to get some food down on that beautiful patio.
The pandemic and a slow economy are making it tough on a lot of people to find steady, good-paying work. But one industry is bucking that trend. Construction companies are hiring and need more workers than ever before. Upload your resume to icba.ca and get noticed. With more than 3,000 employers on our ICBA team, our employment network can connect you to businesses crewing up for the 2021 construction season. Trades jobs that pay well, offer excellent benefits, invest in safety training, and give a firm career foundation. Check out icba.ca/jobs.
Squish Beverage, my new favorite drink of the summer. Absolutely crushable. The right drink to bring down to the beach, the right drink to bring down to the river, camping, whatever you're doing this summer. Squish is the beverage for you. They have original hard seltzers and a bunch of different flavors, but the lemonade ones, those are my favorite, Quads.
Me too. I can drink more than one of those. They're crushable.
Which is good. So when you go down to the beach, you're bringing how many?
More than one.
More than
unlike
one.
Unlike last time.
Absolutely. This is the hard seltzer for you. This is the hard seltzer for summer. Go out and try Squish. You can find their original flavors of hard seltzer at BC liquor stores. But if you want to do a little bit of digging, that's where you're going to find the lemonades, my favorite. And you can find those at private liquor stores all across British Columbia. And a big thank you to all of our sponsors, as always, for supporting us here at the Canucks Conversation. Like we said earlier in the show, we're getting back to that parallel kitchen here pretty dang soon here.
Pretty excited for it.
Very excited for that. We're going to dive into the expansion draft a little bit, Quads. We heard some rumors today that Cole Lynn was going to be protected by the Vancouver Canucks. I love that news. I think that exposing Cole Lynn would have been a mistake, and I think it would have been an easy decision for the Seattle Kraken to select. And now I don't know who they're going to select at this point, right? Like, are the Canucks the final spot that they're going to protect? Do you think it's Matt Highmore? Do you think it's Zach MacEwen? Or do you think it's Jonah Gadjevich out of those three? Because that's kind of what it's coming down to now at this point. We know, like, if the rumors are true about Cole Lynn being protected, which I really hope they are, I think he's the most valuable of that four players there. The final one is going to be Zach MacEwen, Matt Highmore, or Jonah Gadjevich.
Highmore. It's got to be Highmore.
I think it's Highmore as well. I think the fact that Jim Benning traded Adam Gaudette for him is like the nail in the coffin.
Buddy,
listen, protect them.
I'm not saying he's going to do it next year. I'm not saying this was indicative of anything that he's going to be capable of doing going forward. But didn't Matthew Highmore score like 4 goals in 8 games or something absolutely ridiculous like that playing in the Canucks bottom six?
Yeah.
He's trusted defensively, man. He was playing in the top six. Zach McEwen's not trusted defensively. It's just the fact of the matter. With all due respect to him, yep, all due respect to Jonah Gadjevich, it's Matthew Highmore and Cole Lind.
Yeah, and the names that came in, Highmore probably was the most impressive. I mean, I think Hauerluck looked fine at times throughout the season, but I think Highmore was the one who impressed defensively the most out of that group of, you know, of misfit toys that landed in Vancouver's forward group last year.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just looking at, like, the expansion tool and everything and wanting to, you know, get it together and, you know, actually have what they're actually going to protect. Because by the time this comes out, and I guess it won't be submitted, it's submitted Saturday evening. So some people listening to this. Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think it's okay. Noon. Maybe so, Eastern time. So it might even be, I can't remember. It
whatever, regardless. Some right. people listening to this in the wee hours of Saturday morning, the early hours of Saturday morning, yeah. are going to be... not knowing what we're talking about and not having the list in front of them, but we're just trying to imagine what it would be. And I think
probably guess it pretty quick. I mean, you got Brock Besser, you got Elias Pettersson, yeah. you got Bo Horvat, JT Miller, Cole Lind's the name we've heard, Tanner Pearson's the other name, and then the seventh is what we said, probably Highmore.
Yeah.
So those are our seven.
Yeah. And Dhaliwal reported that Lind's getting protected. So.
Right. Which is good to hear.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, you're like, that's the thing that makes me to go back to the, you know, as we're going to continue on with the expansion talk a little bit, because that's kind of the big story going into the Saturday is, does Holtby make even more sense to pick than a Zach McEwen or a Jonah Gadjevich? Like, I think that Holtby makes a lot more sense for Seattle to pick. And that's why I don't know if the Canucks need to talk about retaining salary or anything, because they're not taking Madison Bowie. He's not pushing the needle at all. Out of those players that are available for the, like, for Seattle to select, if they look at the Vancouver Canucks and say they're like, the Canucks are the first team they select from, which they won't be, because Vancouver's like very low on the priority list for adding an actual player to their group. But like, if you're gonna say which guy do you want on your team, and it's Zach McEwen, Jonah Gadjevich, Madison Bowie, and Braden Holtby, it makes a lot of sense to go with Holtby. That's why I don't know if there needs to be salary retention.
Because I think
the Canucks exposed list is so bad that it almost makes you have to take a bad deal in Braden Holtby.
But I don't think they want to take on the full weight of that contract. And you can't make, like, you can't retain salary on an expansion pick. That's not how it works.
Right.
So I don't think so, man. I still think it's a side deal for Holtby. That's my opinion.
And it would be very Benning-esque to force a deal when there's a potential for it to happen.
No, I don't think it's going to happen, man. I don't think so. He's forcing, like, anything.
Waving the white flag on Vancouver and taking Zach McEwen because he could maybe play in the NHL.
I think so. I think that's what you do if you're Seattle. Oh, I almost swore there. Vegas took Lucas Spezza. That was the ultimate addition by subtraction for the Canucks, right? And it's kind of a similar thing with that, all that dead weight in the bottom six, right? And Ben, like, I don't know. I think if you're Seattle, you have more value by taking Holtby because if you're Seattle looking at this situation, okay, and this is why this makes sense for both teams. If you're Seattle looking at this situation, you get a goaltender on a fair contract because Vancouver has retained some salary. And you're getting some veteran leadership as well if you go out and get a Roussel. And Roussel could play in the Kraken bottom six.
That's true.
Right? If they're selecting Roussel in the expansion draft, of course. That's what I'm saying here. They're not going to do that unprompted. But if they're getting Holtby and Canucks are taking some of Holtby's deal back for 1 year, it's just 1 year, and you and I have been beating this drum, you a lot more than me, about how important next offseason is for the Canucks and how much cap space they have coming off the books next offseason and how vital that's going to be for the club moving forward. I think that plays into this plan. And when we talk about how the front office doesn't have a plan and it doesn't seem like they're following any sort of plan, it's the no plan plan, as our friend Ray Ferraro called it, that looks like some forward thinking and some actual planning that you're going out, giving up a goaltender, retaining some salary, biting the bullet on a bad contract you signed for 1 year. And hey, it's a champagne problem. The only reason you have this problem is because Thatcher Demko is so damn good that you don't even need a 1B. Mikey DiPietro could back up right now and be absolutely fine.
But here's the thing. What you just said sounds great, right? What you just said, that sounds great to me. That sounds awesome. If everything that you just said in the last minute was what's happening, that sounds great. But if the Canucks are giving up a second round pick, I'd rather bite the bullet.
What about a third?
I mean, a third would get me more into the conversation.
Okay,
if it's a third, fourth, I have more time for it, but I'm not giving up a top 50 pick for that.
Yeah, okay. That's
in
fair.
A very stacked 2022 draft.
What if you also are able to throw on Louis into the deal, though? How much do you value your second, Chris?
I tell you what, if you're getting rid of Louis, that's a lot of money for this year for this team to improve. I don't think a second's getting even close to that.
Yeah.
Unless you're retaining especially like 50% of Holtby.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not doing that for Louis. But I do think that you have a good point with if it's Roussel or Beagle, I think there is something there.
Yeah.
Because those two guys play for them.
Not so much Beagle.
They'll play minutes.
They will play minutes. Or but Beagle, I think you're a lot more happy with Roussel.
Yeah, I think Roussel would be the guy in that spot. And I think that it's a guy who really helps the room in Roussel, right? A lot of people like Antoine Roussel in the room. We like Antoine Roussel in the room. But that's the thing that, like, when I see it, like, McEwen just doesn't do anything for the NHL team.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe he's your tough guy in the fourth
line. Which is why I'm saying.
But they're going to have so many bottom six guys, exactly. It's going to be so hard for him to crack it.
Exactly. So Roussel helps the Kraken. We've determined that. But he doesn't help them at that contract unless Seattle's getting something out of it. So he's not going to get selected unprompted. Like, Seattle's not going to walk up to the stage and select Antoine Roussel. Who knows? Maybe they do. But they probably won't, right?
If the Canucks, though, like on Holtby's deal, if they protect $1.3 million, that's $6 million total of what the Kraken are taking in. I don't think they're doing that for a third-round pick.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's a lot for a third-round pick. I just don't see this deal really coming to fruition. I think the way that you make this happen is if Seattle actually just wants Holtby.
Which they do. Like, that's been reported by Dhaliwal and Drantz.
Well, then, even if there's a sweetener to go into that in, like, a fifth-round pick, then okay, but if not, I think you just bite the bullet. Because I think this deal gets too complicated and starts to cost the Canucks a lot when they really need to hold on to every single asset they have.
Fair.
And you're not getting anything back from it. And I don't think you're getting rid of $6 million. And that's, you know, that's including protect or taking some of Holtby's money back, like I said. You know, you're still giving up the full $3 million on Roussel. You're still going to have to, you know, give up $3 million on Holtby after you protect $1.3. That's $6 million. I don't think they're...
What if you retain 50 on Holtby?
Can't because he's the one that you're giving up in the expansion, right? So that's the thing. There's too many crossing webs here that make this deal too much for me to think it's possible to happen. And if I think it's too much to possibly happen, what's Jim Benning thinking about?
Hey, man, he's got Hank and Danny now. Those are two very, that's very true. Smart guys. If they're listening to this, they're like laughing at you right now for not being able to follow along here.
Yeah. Well,
already thought of three different trade proposals.
Absolutely. The next general managers, them and RJ down in Abbotsford, they're all talking about it. Well, why don't we get to Abbotsford now?
Sure. Go ahead.
Unless there's anything else you kind of want to add to expansion. I feel like we've covered it. Plus, like, we're going to know more on Saturday at noon or 3 o'clock, whenever it comes out. We'll know more on Saturday about it. I'm glad to hear, though, in the end, because I've talked about this for a long time. I'm really glad they're protecting Colin, if that's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I was ready to text Cole and be like, enjoy Seattle, because he was going to be the guy that they were going to select.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If you leave Lind unprotected, you're probably,
I think he's the obvious one to pick out of that
most group. Upside.
So we'll see. In the end, I think it's just going to be McEwen. Let's give our thoughts on what happens. I think it's just McEwen that gets picked in the expansion draft. I think he gets exposed and I think Zach McEwen gets selected. I don't think the Canucks pull side deals. I hope it's Holtby. I hope it's somehow just Holtby's gone. Even if it's a late round pick to sweeten the deal because they're already interested and it's a big cap move for them to take it. I think that's good. But in the end, I think it's just going to be Zach McEwen that gets selected.
Yeah, I agree with you. There was just a trade. We should talk about it.
Right. And by the way, we missed the Detroit trade with the Islanders as well. Seems like it might
That's what I'm about to bring up.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
There was another one.
No, that's it. So Detroit trades Richard Panik, sorry.
I was going to say, I know it if you want to, like, not
a 2021 second round pick that they got from Edmonton for this year's draft. Wow. And they give up. Oh my gosh. And they get Nick Leddy back. Like, just reading this out loud, it's a bad trade. Like, it's an awful trade for Detroit. And this is what Reese Jessup, old managing editor at Canucks Army, tweeted. Detroit got the worst player, added salary and cap liabilities, paid futures, and ensured they'd lose a better defender to Seattle. There's literally no upside to this deal for them. And it's hard to disagree with him on that.
Yeah, and now they protect him in the draft. Obviously, they just gave up a second round pick and Panik for him. That's a head scratcher. I hope that maybe that, like,
Stevie Y, what is you doing?
I think that trade might be the one that sparks the market where it's like, you know, maybe in the general manager panics a little bit, or, you know, you know, and no pun intended there with Panic being traded in the trade, but like maybe a general manager kind of this sparks a little bit. I think we might, like, I have a feeling we're going to be recording something extra to add onto this episode tonight. Like late, late right. Friday.
There's a lot
night.
Going on.
Well, I'm getting, like, I got to go work the Seas game, Vancouver Canadiens game for $6.50.
That's the most important thing going on in this market right now.
Canadiens game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Tyler Zickle crushes it on the play.
CJ Van Eyck on the hill tonight?
Maybe. I don't follow the team. I just go in and press the buttons to make sure it's on the air. Okay, let's get off the expansion draft a little bit here and move into the Abbotsford talk now. I think Trent Cole won some people over today, Quads, and I think you might have been one of them. I've been telling you, you know, he's a lot of fun in the interviews, and I seen him. He's looking, was he rocking the full beard? Because he had a nasty mustache last year.
He's got some
flow. Bearded up, but maybe just your initial thoughts. You were on the whole call. What did you
smart dude
think of the call with Cole?
Sharp individual, very articulate. I got a lot out of him. I was surprised about DiPietro and Seelovs. And you know, he talked about Jim Benning's input in the goalie situation and how, you know, they have to balance developing Artur Seelovs, and Cole admitted he hasn't really talked to Artur's before. But
he's a Latvia guy.
Yeah. And the work that Curtis is doing with these goalies, and, you know, they get input from Ian. He said, obviously RJ's heavily involved, you know, and they have Curtis and everybody. Like he said, like, it's really a organizational decision with the goalies. Like, it's not just calling the shots of who gets to play and who doesn't and how they want to do this. But look, it's no secret Mikey didn't get a lot of games last year, neither did Archers, but the Canucks need Mikey more than they need Archers. Like, they need Mikey to develop and get to a point where he could be the backup by the halfway point next year. Like, let's say they lose Holtby throughout the expansion draft process, because I don't want to say in the expansion draft, because who knows, he probably won't get selected. It'll be a trade. But they lose Holtby this offseason. They're probably going into next year looking at bringing in a backup. This isn't a year ago when the checkbooks were put away and they were like, no, we can keep this kid on the taxi squad and only pay him $70,000 instead of this goaltender, this journeyman who we're going to have to pay $200,000 to $700,000. I'll take the kid who I only have to pay $70,000. That's what happened last year. And we talked about it. We alluded to it a lot. I don't know if we flat out said it like that, but that's what happened last year. That's not going to be the case coming up this year. You can go out and get a journeyman goaltender. The checkbooks are out. So, you know, You come in, maybe Louis Domingue's your backup, right? I'm just throwing names out there.
I think the big thing is you want to get a guy who makes $1.5 million tops, because then you bury him in the AHL if DiPietro pushes. Then he's only $600,000.
Exactly.
And you're saving money with Mikey coming up making, I think, $871,000, something like that. So I think we're at a point next year where, you know, RJ told me in the interview that I had one-on-one, Ryan Johnson, who said that, you know, DiPietro could play 50 games next year for the AHL team. He probably doesn't get to that point, because if he's playing that much and he's playing that well to deserve playing that much, he's got to be pushing for the NHL in the exact same way Thatcher Demko
did. He is still young. I think, now I'm not reporting anything, I think internally the Canucks want to see DiPietro have at least one more full season in the AHL before they call him up. But I think there's a breaking point and a turning point for everybody. And I think if his workload and his work at the AHL level is completely undeniable, I think by the halfway point, I don't think we see him come into next year as the backup if Holtby's gone.
I think Ian Clark's pretty high on DiPietro.
I think so too. I think
Ian Clark has a big, big say. Especially now with his expanded role.
Yeah.
I think he has a big, big say who's the backup goaltender. And if you're at the halfway point and DiPietro's ripping it up in the AHL.
But I think Ian Clark would agree with me that it's probably better for Mikey's development into getting to a point where he can be a consistent NHL backup and eventually developing into a starter. It's probably better for his development to play that one more season, or at least half a season, in the AHL playing a ton of games.
I would say if you're looking for Mikey to be the starter and win the starting role, yes, but you got Demko locked in for that 5-year deal. I think that you're getting a lot of experience at the NHL level and seeing NHL shots, being around NHL players, having practices every single time with NHL players and NHL shots. If you're just the backup and you're going to be probably the backup for the next, you know, 5 years, I think you gain a lot in a similar way having him be at the NHL level than you do having being a starter at the AHL.
Yeah, but nothing beats game action.
The biggest difference that you hear from a lot of these guys is the speed of the game, the speed of the players, and the shots. For goaltenders, it's all about the shots. And there's a big difference between AHL shots and NHL shots. The way the puck comes off the stick of these guys.
It's not a huge difference to the point where DiPietro playing three games every month in the NHL is better than him playing, 13 in the AHL. I fully disagree with that. And I think Woodley and Ian Clark would agree with me.
No, that's why I don't agree with Woodley on it.
I get what you're saying. I'm not trying to dismiss.
There's a reason why Jack Rathbone came into the AHL and looked outstanding, because I haven't seen a defenseman shoot the puck like that the whole season.
Yeah.
In the AHL, there's a reason why Reed Boucher's shot stuck out so much,
sure,
and doesn't stick out in the NHL, because there is a huge drop off. KHL is a better shooting league than the AHL. And the NHL, you look at every single player in the NHL, they snap it a lot better than AHL players.
Yeah, they do,
man. Like, right. I think of Will Lockwood's shot compared to, Nils Höglander's shot.
Yeah.
Very different, very broad difference between the shot. I think there's a huge difference between seeing the way the puck comes off an NHLer stick
compared
to an AHLer. Yeah. I think it's a big difference.
I just don't think it's a big enough difference to warrant Mikey being a backup right away.
But, you're saying 13 games. He'll play. That's a lot in a month for DiPietro. That's probably more than the Abbotsford team has in a month.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually.
Like, they would have...
Well, he probably wouldn't even back up three games in the NHL a month. He'd be like, two or three.
Yeah, you'd probably get one or two back-to-backs. He might get another start in there. You get one for sure, because you probably have a back-to-back each month, maybe two. Maybe another start in there. Yeah, it would be tough for him to get to three. Two or three, you'd have to say. But for him to be, that's the thing that's going to be really interesting about Abbotsford next year is a lot of their games, because of the California format, or Pacific Division. It used to be called the California Division. Pacific Division now. But the format's going to be Friday, Saturday, games Wednesday as well. Or Wednesday, Thursday are going to be the midweek games. But Friday, Saturday are going to be the weekend games. How many back-to-backs is Mikey playing next year? If RJ said, he would play Friday night, be at the rink the next day, first guy at the rink, ready to go, and he'd be giving them those eyes, I'm getting the start tonight, right? I'm getting the back-to-back start. I think that's going to be interesting to watch how much he gets those back-to-backs.
I also think, and this is, again, not reporting anything, I also think that from a branding perspective, the Canucks want Mikey and Abbotsford. If they're trying to sell season tickets, and you're trying to sell... what are you selling? JetWoo? We're the only ones hyped. Hey,
Woo's easy to sell, man.
We're the only ones hyped about JetWoo right now. Come on.
Yeah.
You're not putting JetWoo across the Abbotsford Center and getting people in.
I think you are. I think Woo's going to be a guy that, man, every time Woo does something, the whole crowd's going to go
nuts.
More
people are going to be excited about the star goaltender selected in the second round than the defenseman who's starting to look like he could maybe be something in the second round. I love JetWoo. Wish me a happy
10th
birthday. Yeah. Big 1-0. But yeah, I look at that situation and I think Mikey is the more marketable player. And I think you're
going to see Mikey in the community the way that he is in interviews.
Exactly. From a pure organizational standpoint, I think it benefits you more. Not only does it benefit Mikey as a player, right, to play in the AHL, it also benefits your organization as a whole.
But do you get to a point where this is starting to wear him out? If this team is getting 35 to 40 shots against him on Friday, and then another 35.
Seelovs has to develop too. I don't think he's getting worn down.
All the weekend games are going to be back to backs.
Yes, so you get Seelovs in there. That's a perfect situation.
In a month, if you have four back to backs, how many does Seelovs get?
All of them. All the second legs of the back to backs, you put Seelovs in. What's the issue?
So no, but that's what I'm asking. I thought you said that you were expecting Mikey to play back-to-backs, because I am.
No. I think he might play
Mikey to play back-to-backs.
Yeah, he might, but you also have to manage his workload.
Two of the four in a month, Mikey's playing back-to-back Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, okay, sure, because you want to sell tickets? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying that's the way I think Mikey... Well, for that reason, too, but okay. I think for another reason of that is the player that Mikey wants to be.
Okay.
And so, I think when you start to see Mikey playing this amount of back-to-backs, that's what's going to be damn, this kid's ready for the next thing.
Sure, I agree. That's why I'm saying I don't think you start him in the NHL at the start of the year. I agree with you, but I don't think the workload's going to be... What's your question to me? Are you asking if the workload's going to be hard for him?
I was just asking, do you expect to see a month where Seelovs plays one or two games in a whole month? I hope not. Is that what Mikey's going to be getting for his workload? And does the workload...
Sure sounds like it.
Does it ever get to be too much, though? If he's facing 35 shots Friday, 35 shots Saturday...
That's why you have a guy like Chris Samford boots on the ground right there, because he can tell when it's becoming too much.
And Ian Clark boots on the ground, too.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, when... Like, look, okay. I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to share a story. I know he won't have a problem with me doing this. I hope he won't have a problem with me doing this. We were in the press box last year, and Thatcher Demko was playing a lot. And Kevin Woodley, goaltending guru, just randomly says in the press box, he goes, Thatcher's going to let in a weak goal because he misplayed the puck behind the net. And that's
a sign. I was at that game.
You were. Yeah. That's a sign of a goaltender starting to lose their, I don't want to use the word focus, but they're a little fatigued, just a little mental mistake like that.
A little bit
like
sloppier than usual.
Even Marc-Andre Fleury, I almost called him. Marc-Andre Fleury in the playoffs against Montreal, right? Played a lot. You know,
blown away when that happened with
Woodley. Okay, so let me finish the story. So he says that, and then 2 seconds, literally.
It was minutes
later. A minute later, Thatcher Demko lets in a weak five-hole goal. Like, it was like clockwork, and everybody was just like, holy smokes. Like, and Woodley was just basking in the glory, man.
I remember Woodley just raising his arms up, and everyone's looking at him and yelling at him in the press box. Yeah. Because he called it. He's like, because it was a mistake that he made behind the net, and he said, you can tell that Thatcher's just a little bit sloppy right now, and he's going to let in a bad goal, and he did. A minute or two later.
I know.
That crazy. Was insane. That was crazy when he did that.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't mind us telling that story. If Demko's listening to this, he's going to be cursing out Woodley. I think we might have.
I think we might have said that on the show before. Maybe. But yeah, I think, you know, that's the thing. Like, Mikey is going to be the star there. Jonah's going to be the star there.
I had a point here. Okay. I had a point with that story. But what I was saying is, if Woodley can tell that from the 500 level, from the Encore Suites, which were beautiful, by the way, this last season, Curtis Sanford's going to be able to tell it as well, right? He's going to be able to tell when Mikey's getting fatigued. Because if you go down to the locker room after that game and you ask Demko if he's tired, no, I could go. I'm ready to go. I'll play the next game. Mikey's going to be the exact same. These guys don't admit when they're tired. It's got to be someone with a keen eye, an eye for goaltenders, telling you when your goaltender needs a break.
And let's think about the time that's going to be spaced out here. You play Friday, Saturday, you don't play every single Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, you might have 5 days off and then 2 games.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of time off to get ready to play back-to-back nights. It's not the NHL where you play Friday, Saturday, then you're back on Monday, then you're back on Wednesday, and then you're back Friday, Saturday. It's not that.
Like,
there's a lot of time for these guys to get their breaks in throughout the season. So it's going to be interesting to me, like, because RJ said it, you know, he wouldn't be shocked to see DiPietro play 50 of 68 games.
Yeah,
that's a lot of hockey for a league that plays back to backs is that much. That's a lot of hockey, but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, the wheels hit the road on this and see if they're actually going to play DiPietro that much.
Yeah,
because he, like you said, he's never going to say no.
No, he's not.
But he's always going to say that he's ready to go.
50 games, wasn't that what RJ said? 50 games. Maybe he was exaggerating a little bit. But
he said 50.
He did say 50. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see. I mean, I don't have anything else to add to this conversation. There's a lot going on. The last thing I wanted to say.
There's some other stars, though. Like, if you get Cole Lynn down there, he's going to be a star. Sure. Jonah Gadjevich
is going
to be a star.
Nobody is coming out to see Cole Lynn or Jonah Gadjevich when you have Mikey DiPietro. People are going to come see Mikey DiPietro.
I'm not arguing that I know DiPietro is going to be a star. Okay. I think Seelovs might be another star for this team. If
that's bold. That sounds like something I would say.
Well, that's what I asked RJ about it in our interview. I said, like, two of your biggest stars are going to be their goaltending. If Seelovs steps up to the level that, you know, Ian Clark's very high on him. I say this all the time, but like that first training camp I saw him in Victoria, I was like, wow, there is really something here about this kid that looks like a pro. His body type looks like a pro. He moves like a pro.
Vasilevsky.
He looks, like Seelovs, if he's improved since that time, because I haven't seen him play since Victoria.
Yeah.
I think I might have seen him at like a practice once.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Or a pregame maybe that time.
He has improved, by the way. He has.
And if he has improved, I'm excited to see what he's going to do at the AHL level.
He's going
to
be good.
But there's some players that are going to be exciting for the Canucks fans or Abbotsford fans to go. I guess they are Canucks fans. Abbotsford Canucks fans to go watch. And, you know, I'm excited to get that Abbotsford team rolling a little bit here. So anything else that you may have taken away? Because I know you tweeted out some quotes as well. If you want to maybe just like pull them up here quickly on your phone from anything that Trent Cole did bring up. But like, was there anything else from the conversation? You've never been on the Utica calls. You never had, like, I had the one-on-one with Trent as well a few months or a month or two ago Like, what did you just think the overall feel from Trent Cole was aside from the goalie stuff? Because I asked you a question, what was your overall feel? And you dove right into goalies, as you usually do.
Yeah, he seems like, you know, like I said, he's a sharp guy. Seems kind of funny. Seems pretty nice. We asked him about Jack Rathbone. And he said, well, yeah, he played nothing like me, which is a great thing. And then he was just like, yeah, great kid.
So he's calling him not tough enough because Trent Cole was a penalty minute guy.
Yeah, exactly. No, he...
That's got to be the quote that comes out of there. Yeah, Trent Cole says that Jack Rathbone's not tough enough.
Jeez. Yeah, introduce him to the market. The added scrutiny of the Vancouver market, we all just like take everything he says out of context. Yeah.
Welcome to Vancouver, man. Welcome to Abbey.
He talked about that a little bit, actually. I believe he was asked about it. I kind of tuned out. You know, you tune out in these Zoom calls when it's not your turn, right? I do.
I'm locked in 100% of the time.
Oh, you were driving during the last one. You were
locked in still.
How were you locked in while driving? Come on.
That's a good point.
Yeah, if there's any police officers listening to this.
Oh, it was hands-free. You were holding it.
Ticket Faber.
You were holding it. I wasn't looking at the video.
I was. You're right.
I saw RJ's tan off the start, and I said, I don't need to see anything more. A little burnt.
Took us like 6 minutes to get that call off the ground.
Yeah,
it was. We talked about it on the last show. Yeah, what was I saying? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, Trent Cole was actually asked about it, about the added scrutiny of the market and if he worries at all about his players. And he's like, yeah, I'm not worried about it for myself. Like, he's going to be fine, he said. But he's like, yeah, I kind of worry about them like they're my sons. And he has three sons. I had no clue about that. But yeah, he said, I kind of worry about them a little bit, you know, with the added scrutiny. But honestly, like, you're kind of the main prospects guy in the city. And I don't think I've like heard you say a bad thing about a prospect. Like, everybody jokes, or like, I see these people commenting on your stuff and they're like, oh, here's another Faber piece updating us on this guy in the Soviet Sea League that we don't know about. And you're like, this guy could make it. And it's like, awesome. Like, it's great. Like, it's great prospect coverage. I'm not complaining at all, but it's like, I haven't heard you like rip into a prospect. And I don't think that's going to change when they come to Abbotsford.
No, I mean, it's true. I'm a little over positive with prospects. I've seen the fanboy Faber comments in the Canucks Army.
Oh, whatever. Articles. Ignore that. But people call me a fanboy, and then people are like, why do you hate the Canucks so much? And it's like, pick one.
You can't win. You can't win no, in the you comment can't. Section.
Ignore
you
that. Never
can. But yeah, I mean, like, I've heard things about prospects that might be something worrisome. And I think that that's something that we could talk about a little bit, because you're coming to Vancouver. You're a pro hockey player now for the Canucks. There are going to be some players that find themselves in some trouble. I've heard a lot of very good things about a lot of these players. I'll say a couple names that are, you know, very quality individuals. I've heard that Jet Wu is an excellent guy off the ice.
Happy birthday to me.
Yep, happy birthday to you. Also, some of the initiatives that he does off the ice.
Yeah, exactly.
Very impressive for him, for donating blood. I know he's a huge supporter of that. And certain things about him. Jack Rathbone, I don't have to say much about him. Yeah. Off the ice, he's incredible.
He's going to play for the Vancouver Canucks, but yeah.
Right. Mikey DiPietro, obviously. Yeah. We know about him. But there's, you know, I'm not saying that there's other players that are bad. I'm not saying that. But I've heard things about other players that'll be on this Comets team that now that they're going to be
Canucks
here.
Canucks team.
Whatever. Now that they're going to be here in Abbotsford, this close to Vancouver, big city.
There is some added, you're right. There I is think some added
the
spotlight.
The exposure in the end is going to be good. For them, like, the exposure is going to be good for a lot of these guys to maybe force them to work harder, force them to know that there's more pressure. But the exposure is going to hurt some players, I think, along the way as well. There are going to be guys that get caught, you know, if they're just out at a club, you know, if they're going down to a club now in Vancouver, you know, if you see just, I'll pick a random name that's gone now because I don't want to single out a name, but say you saw Sven Berchi at the club in Vancouver, you think that picture wouldn't be all over Twitter? And you're not going to see that with the NHL guys because why? They're off in their mansions. They're off in hidden areas where they can.
They've got a private club.
Or in their Whistler homes or whatever people said the parties are at. They're off actually having a lot of money and being able to spend it. I have a feeling that these Abbotsford Canucks might be the type of players that would go to the Roxy, would go to some clubs, would go. And that's no problem. These guys are 20 years old, right? Like, you're allowed to go out still.
Why would you leave Abbotsford? Yeah. Joking.
Yeah, we're going to see. Castle Fun Park is going to be a nightclub.
Castle
by
Fun
the end
Park,
of the season.
Cactus Club at Abbotsford. Yeah. It's going to be lit in there.
There will be a lot of Abbotsford Canucks at the Cactus Club out there. Maybe I might even see some at the Arby's post game. We'll see what's going
the
on.
Arby's.
That. Because what I found with the maps the other day was it's perfect. My drive, because I'm in White Rock area, I don't go on Highway 1. I take like 16th for anybody who knows. I'll be taking 16th the whole way into Abbotsford, which isn't even a highway. It's just like a farm road, sort of. It's kind of like parallel to the border, pretty close to the border, because that's kind of where I live. And yeah, it's like I take that way. I go right by the Arby's to get to the Abbotsford Center. Like I had a feeling that it was going to be on the way. I didn't know it was going to be like driving literally by it. Like 2 minutes off, I have to turn left on my way to get to Arby's.
So paparazzi Faber is going to snitch on all the players that right are now, eating at Arby's.
Yeah, goal for this podcast and for the next year. We've got a lot of goals, I think. We don't really touch on them, but like the Arby's sponsorship needs to come pretty damn soon here, man. Like, listen,
Arby's, my gosh.
Like, the way that I've talked about their loaded curly fries enough on this show and on Twitter, we need to get the Arby's sponsorship pretty damn soon.
Yeah, I agree.
We don't have a fast food.
We don't. We don't have a fast
parallel
food
street
place.
Kitchen is the closest we get, and that's.
We also just completely forgot the poll question. I said I was going to make it, and we never made one. So we'll you on a poll question. Yeah, we'll skip the poll question
this week.
We don't have a sponsor for it, so it doesn't really matter if we skip it.
Mad at us.
Yeah, nobody's going to get mad at us.
Who was our sponsor last week? It was some
BC Ferries memes.
Well, that was a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah,
last episode we had
Crouse Berry Farms. I believe.
No, that was a few weeks ago too.
We just pick random businesses.
Yeah. So this week it'll be Arby's. I think Arby's has been a sponsor of the poll question before. The missing poll question this week brought to you by Arby's.
I'm going to shout out a little place actually.
Okay.
Brown's Books on Hastings in Burnaby, right by Playland. So if you're in Vancouver over there in East Van, just drive over. You're right there. Brown's Books. Okay. It's a rare mystery bookshop. Okay. I know you're not a big reader.
Not at all, but
I am. And it's a great bookstore. I went in there, bought some, they have a whole hockey section. Some books by Ed Willis were there. Some writings of the Tony Gallagher were in there. A lot of good stuff. Go check it out. It looks small, but when you walk in, it's two storefronts and it's just the it's like stacked to the ceilings with books all over the place. Great little shop. Go check it out. This has been the Brown's Books poll question.
All right.
And we don't actually have a poll question, but no. Go check out Brown's Books.
Hey, no prospects report this week either. Nothing really going on. I seen Vasily Podkolzin's back around Moscow.
Yes.
So he was on vacation for a little bit, the honeymoon time that he was on right now. So we'll see what's coming up with him. And reports earlier this week about, who wrote the article where they spoke to Benning? Was it Willis?
What?
Someone had an interview with Benning, the one-on-one interview for the province.
Kuzma, maybe?
Yeah, whatever. There was a one-on-one from the province.
And Willis doesn't work for the province.
Sorry,
anymore.
I know. Why am I saying Willis? I think it was Kuzma who had...
Well, there was a flash from the past right there.
Sorry, no, it wasn't Kuzma either. I'm just blanking on names right now.
I don't
now.
Think there was an exclusive.
Was it Sportsnet's had the one-on-one with Benning? And they talked about...
IMAC. Yes, yeah,
IMAC
yeah.
had it. So
yeah.
What am I talking about here?
Ed Willis.
You messed me up with the whole
Ed Willis.
Well,
Ed Willis wrote a book, and it's at Brown's Books.
Well, it's ruined the whole no poll question, Bruce's Books, or whatever this place is called.
Bruce's
it's
Books.
Messed me completely up here. I'm lost now. And so the one-on-one with IMAC, with what they said about Vasily Podkolzin coming in early August. Found that kind of interesting.
You got that in.
Going to get here a month and a half before training camp, which is exciting. I think that's a good thing for Podkolzin and his wife as well. There was an interview in Russia. Yeah, I'd see the time quads. There's an interview in Russia where they asked him if he rushed the wedding to get her a visa. People are over here giving me crap about putting too much pressure on Podkolzin. There was people asking him about rushing his wedding. Somebody asked him if his wife deceived him in one of the interviews in Russia.
What?
And I was like, and then he like laughed like awkwardly and said no. And then he's what do you mean? That's what he asked back to the Russian reporter. And I was like, man, like it was some weird questions. And then
they're just prepping him for Vancouver.
Well, that's the thing.
And people think we're bad.
Yeah, the rush. This was awkward. It was like him at a charity game and some guy went up to him for his YouTube channel the interview. It was awkward. It was weird. He asked him some like very pointed questions about his wife and why he married her so early. Was it just to get her a visa so she could come to Vancouver?
How much money would it take for that to be your first question to Podkolzin when he gets here?
There's
an amount. What's the amount? Like it takes over $1 million, I think, to absolutely butcher.
Oh no, not even closer. That would be
way less.
Yeah,
way less. To butcher your relationship with this prospect that you've tried so hard to connect with.
No, I would take quite a bit. But
what's your price? I'm curious.
$40,000.
$40,000.
Yeah.
$40,000. That's like
it's not that much.
It's not that much.
No, but $40,000 would be pretty good right now.
Fair enough. Yeah.
All right, we're gonna end on that.
I can't believe somebody asked him that. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Very strange question. I watched the YouTube channel. I went through the whole translator. I did the whole thing so I could translate.
Maybe
the whole
it was just something like lost in translation, or
I don't know, because the way that Pod Colson reacted was like
he just got asked if his wife deceived him.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And he was like laughed awkwardly and then was just like, "What do you mean?" And then he like asked him right after about, "Well, did she just want to get married so she could have a visa?" And then he was like, I think he even like kind of expanded on saying that, you know, there was part of that. They were hoping to get married 6 months down the road, he said. Pod Colson said this.
Yeah.
And this is all through Google Translator, so I'm pretty sure it's decently accurate. It was on, and then also I found on a website and it translated the same way to that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people are giving me crap for putting too much pressure on him, saying he's going to be on the first lines. Like, at least I'm not asking you about rushing his wedding with his wife. So like,
not for four, unless it's for 40 grand.
We'll start the GoFundMe then.
Start the GoFundMe to make Faber ask an absolutely horrible question.
I would ask it in a better way than that, too.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyways, so we're going to, you know, we'll wrap up there. Prospects report's all wrapped up. So we'll close things out there. It's been a long episode, man. We haven't done an over an hour episode without an interview in a long time. So we'll wrap things up there. For David Quadrelli, my name is Chris Faber. Hopefully there's not some extra little bits we got to add on to the end here if anything happens. But if there is, we'll get to that right now. But aside from that, for David Quadrelli, my name is Chris Faber. And thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.